Chapter 15. Adhara's mother and father stepped closer to me, and they were silent as they crouched down and examined my torso. They clearly had no issues with boundaries, and both of them pulled and prodded at my abs like they might find gills hidden in the divots between my muscles. I glanced at each of the girls a little awkwardly, and they stared back at me with worried looks. They were all still holding hands, and Haywan bit down hard on her lip as she watched. Becca's big brown eyes were bulging in anticipation, and Kat's face was paler than usual while she waited to hear the fate of the planet. It felt like it took a lifetime for the older aliens to stop their examination. But finally they straightened up and shouted something to the younger aliens on the bridge. Adhara gasped and flung her arms around her mother. I felt like my legs had turned to jelly, but I needed confirmation before I let myself breathe. "Adhara?" I asked, and my voice cracked as I spoke.
"They believe me,"
the gorgeous alien whispered as she pulled away from her mom.
"We did it, Jason. They called off the fleets."
I didn't know whether to laugh or cry. The bridge was silent as a thousand emotions and thoughts raced through my head. I felt lightheaded, nauseous, and delirious all at the same time. But we'd done it. We'd saved Earth. We'd fucking done it. "Really?" I managed to croak. "The war is over."
"It is,"
Adhara nodded, and tears streamed down her pretty face. Becca suddenly erupted into a screaming, jumping bundle of excitement. She grabbed Haywan and Kat into a hug, and the girls bounced up and down in a circle. I wanted to join in, but I felt like I couldn't move from shock.
"Jason!"
Kat screamed as she turned and leapt onto me.
"We did it! We fucking did it!"
As the soldier wrapped her arms around me, the sensation came back into my fingertips, and I grabbed onto Kat with all my strength. I buried my face in her curly hair and let out a laugh that I hadn't even heard in months, and Kat giggled like a maniac as she shimmied in my hold. Then Becca, Haywan, and Adhara launched themselves at me, and I nearly collapsed while I held onto my girls as we laughed and screamed. Even Leo was grinning, and he stood with his hands on his hips as he watched us. There was no way to begin to describe how happy I was at that moment, but I felt higher than I'd ever been in my life. Weeks' worth of stress, worry, and near-death experiences suddenly vanished. There was no more ticking clock, no more countdown, no more fighting for our lives.
"I can't believe this is real,"
Haywan sniffed as she looked up at me.
"I knew it was a good idea to team up with you back at the library. I couldn't imagine doing this with anyone else."
Becca nodded and kissed me on the cheek.
"I love all of you so much. I'm so happy I came to find you guys."
Kat grinned through tears.
"It was worth every second of that terrifying drive to get to you." "And I am happy to be in family,"
Adhara said.
"I have never known being loved like this."
Adhara's mother suddenly cleared her throat in a strange, humming way, and I looked over to see her staring with a raised eyebrow. "Ah," I said and slowly loosened my hold on her daughter. "Sorry, I didn't get a chance to introduce myself during all the chaos. I'm Jason, and I guess I need to thank you for saving our lives."
"This is my mother,"
Adhara said with a smile.
"And this is my father. They are the High Council members in charge of this ship. It's an awesome spaceship,"
Becca tossed out.
"I like the floating sofas."
The older woman blinked at Becca, and then she looked back at me.
"I do not want thanks,"
she said.
"You are not those we are at war with, so we will not send fleets."
"We will not send more fleets," Adhara's father added.
"Wait, what?" I asked. "You already sent some?"
"Only a little,"
the older man replied, and his lilac face was completely unreadable.
"To the place you call Berlin, but barely any damage was done. We called off attack before true violence broke."
"Oh," I stared in surprise, and Becca let out a snort. "Well, I guess we still saved most of the planet." One of the younger aliens at the front of the bridge grabbed something that looked like a radio receiver, and he began to make an announcement that rang out through the ship. The moment he began to talk, I could hear the outcry from the other crew members below. "I assume he's spreading the word?" I asked, and Adhara nodded.
"I will speak amongst the crew," Leo said. "They will have many questions."
The tall alien strode out of the bridge, and I could hear the yells from the crew as the door opened and closed.
"There will be confusion,"
Adhara's mother said.
"We put much planning into this."
"We noticed,"
Becca snorted.
"We've been fighting through your planning for a few weeks."
"Now," Adhara's father straightened his already stiff posture, "we must speak with their leader alone."
"Like the Prime Minister?"
Kat asked.
"I don't know if he made it, to be honest."
"Yeah, the leader of which country?"
Hei Wan furrowed her brow. The two older aliens looked down at the Korean with stern frowns, and they shook their heads as if it was a stupid question.
"Leader of Earth," Adhara's father said. "Jason, please follow us."
I blinked as the older aliens turned and strode toward the back of the bridge. Then Adhara's mother waved a hand ahead of herself, and a hidden door materialized on the blank black wall and slid open. The pair of stern-faced aliens disappeared into the next room, and I finally looked at Adhara.
"What did he just say?" I asked.
My mind was still buzzing, and I definitely hadn't properly taken in the interaction that had just happened.
"They think you are the leader of Earth,"
the pretty alien whispered, and nudged me forward.
"You are the one who came here and stopped the war. It makes sense."
"No, it doesn't," I snorted. "You and I both know I am not the leader of the world. I'm just... Jason. I'll tell them..."
"Hold on. Why not you?"
Kat asked as she folded her arms.
"Think about it. There's no president or prime minister up on this ship right now. You're the one who got here. You're the one who saved the planet with those fantastic abs.
We don't even know who's left on Earth,"
Hei Wan pointed out.
"Perhaps all the world leaders are dead."
"There is no chance the Queen made it,"
Becca muttered under her breath.
"Jason, you saved the planet,"
Kat said as she looked me straight in the eye.
"That puts you in a pretty good position to do what's right."
"I guess," I said hesitantly. I furrowed my brow at the idea, but my women made a lot of good points. There wasn't anybody else on the ship to shift the responsibility onto. The thought of making decisions that would impact the whole of humanity was daunting, but maybe I had a chance to do some real good after people had been through so much pain. Hell, I'd been doing everything I could lately to do just that, help everyone get by.
"Go for it,"
Hei Wan grinned eagerly.
"My husband, leader of Earth."
"Not a bad title,"
Becca chuckled.
"I think you earned it. All that dino slaying, all those times you saved us and came up with a plan, all the sex."
"Yeah, he fucks like a global leader,"
Kat deadpanned.
"This is true,"
Adhara agreed with a curt nod.
"So true,"
Hei Wan snickered.
"This is all some leader quality shit if I ever saw it,"
Becca concluded. My four women looked at me with the most smug expressions I'd ever seen on their faces, and then Adhara stepped forward with a little smile.
"Go,"
the beautiful alien said and gently nudged me again.
"They want to talk about what happens next. You're a good man for this."
I glanced over at the open doorway and took a deep breath. Then I figured that after saving the world, nothing was too intimidating, and if I stopped a planet from being blown up, I could talk to a couple of High Council aliens, even if they were the parents of the beautiful lilac woman I'd been fucking lately. "All right," I muttered. "I'll do it." The girls cheered as I made my way out of the bridge, and I glanced back to see them blowing me kisses. Their happiness was worth every painful fucking second I had endured to get here, but something about the obvious pride they had in me at that moment brought a huge grin to my face. I couldn't stop smiling as I stepped through the doorway, and then I gasped at the view. The room was small, and the walls were made up of glass, so the entire structure was one big window. Adhara's parents stood staring out into space, and I strode over to join them as I looked at the endless stars. "Hi," I said as they turned to face me. "I just wanted to thank you for listening to Adhara and stopping the fleets."
"Our daughter tells us this is her human name,"
The beautiful older woman nodded.
She also tells me that you are mating partners.
I felt my cheeks instantly flush, and I scratched the back of my neck as the aliens looked at me. I hadn't expected our conversation to start with details of my sex life. Well, I stammered. I mean, I really care about her.
This is good to hear, the father replied stoically. We hope you breed with her. Make many strong offspring. Our kind. Males make less sperm every generation. We can talk later of that. Now we must talk about what will happen to Earth.
The old alien made a gesture with his hands, and three chairs began to rise up from the floor like they did on Adhara's ship. The seats were a black, velvet-like material, and they formed a semicircle that faced out to the window. Oh, I nodded blankly. Okay, let's switch topics.
Sit here,
Adhara's mother said as she gestured to the middle chair, and I sat down on the comfortable material. I looked out at the vast expanse of space, and it felt like I was dreaming. The way we slowly drifted by stars and the little clusters of rocks that flew past were beyond mesmerizing, and I wanted to just sit there for hours with my girls around me. It's so amazing out here, I breathed. I can't believe I got to go into space in my lifetime.
Your kind do not do this.
Adhara's mother narrowed her green eyes. Not like this, I chuckled. We have people who train for years to be able to go up into space, but there's a lot of heavy-duty suits, oxygen tanks, all kinds of stuff involved.
This is overcomplicating things,
the woman informed me, and I grinned. We're kind of primitive compared to your kind, I replied. Adhara's father nodded.
Well, it is a good view. Enjoy it while you now make choices for the good of your people.
Yeah, that's a lot of responsibility, I sighed. But I guess that's my role now, so I'll try my best.
We need resources,
the alien woman began.
Our home planet is dying. The ground and atmosphere are not producing what we need to survive. My mate already spoke of problem with our males make no sperm. That is part of problem, too.
Adhara mentioned that, I said with a nod. I'm sorry to hear about your struggles. That must be...
We want to share with the humans, the man interrupted. We wish to live on your planet and use your land.
Really? I asked.
Yes, we are here already, Adhara's father replied.
True, but... I trailed off as I considered the gravity of this statement. You're willing to coexist with us? You wouldn't try to wipe us out or kill us for food?
No,
Adhara's mother said flatly.
We have no reason to kill if you are willing to share. We want to share. Means our people continue.
Her tone implied that they were very much willing to kill if the humans didn't share. And after all we had seen, there was no doubt in my mind that she meant it. Okay, so that's a pretty big adjustment, I said carefully. But I guess maybe not much bigger than living with dinosaurs. Are they going to be taken care of, the Omati?
They will be, the older man nodded. We will destroy the advanced ones. But any who did not do the evolving will be fine.
I'm not sure that's enough, I admitted as I shifted in my seat. See, even the ones that haven't gone full soldier are still dangerous. Humans can't survive with dinosaurs walking around eating us and ruining our homes.
They will not do this,
Adhara's mother assured me with a dismissive wave of her hand.
They will be as they are on our planet, docile and in background. They will not care for human eating.
I nodded slowly, and I tried to wrap my head around the idea of dinosaurs just being like bears or some other huge animal we had that wandered the planet. There were so many species on Earth with a general don't fuck with it rule, so would it be so different if a few more species got added to that list? Humans avoided crocodiles, tigers, boa constrictors. It almost seems simple. Avoid the dinosaurs. Don't be an idiot.
I guess we could work with that, I said after a moment. If you can promise that all the big, bloodthirsty ones would be gone.
It will be dealt with, Edhara's father said with a shrug. Then we can focus on the breeding.
Breeding? I asked, and my jaw went slack for a moment while I tried to keep up with the conversation. Breeding what, dinos? Or are you saying you want to mate humans and aliens?
Mating between our races. Was this not your plan also?
Edhara's mother asked, and I felt my face get hot again.
You mate with my daughter, the older man reminded me. It is working, yes. She make child with you seed.
My voice went an octave higher than I intended, and I cleared my throat. yes. Yes, sir. I mean, we're doing just fine, but I'm not sure if she's pregnant.
If you have sperm, we can help with her breeding.
Edhara's mother nodded.
Well, my other two lovers are pregnant already, and the third wishes to be.
You have good sperm, then.
The older woman smiled.
Our daughter will be fine to breed with you. Make many children. Our species continues. Is acceptable?
Yeah.
I cleared my throat.
Good.
The father nodded and looked at his wife, and Edhara's beautiful mother smiled in an almost proud way.
Then all is settled.
Well, sort of, but... Are you sure about this? I asked, as I tried to change the subject. After you killed off half our population, you want to share all of our resources and just move on to our planet? With all due respect, that's asking a lot given the circumstances. Do we get something in return? I hadn't meant the question to come out harshly, but I guessed if I was the leader of Earth, it was my job to negotiate. The aliens seemed unfazed by my tone, at least, and they shrugged as they exchanged glances.
We will bring our knowledge to humans,
Edhara's mother replied.
Technology and science, in return for resources and breeding. We now know how primitive your technology is. You will be happy to advance it.
Good point, I muttered. I thought about aliens and humans living together, raising families, and building the world back up again after it was so nearly destroyed. It was incredible to picture, but I knew I had to consider the choices carefully if I was going to make a decision for the whole of humanity. A new world with better technology and medical care sounded pretty fucking good to me. Even if we had to learn how to ignore dinosaurs. But even that aspect sounded sort of fun. I stared out at the stars for a minute, and I couldn't think of any downsides to the agreement, as long as the aliens kept up their end of the bargain. They could never undo the damage they had done to Earth, but we could definitely work together to create something even better than before. All I had wanted lately was a safe place for my girls and future kids. And technically, I was about to be handed just that. A world with better advancements, less dino armies, and my beautiful alien lover right here on my home planet with me. I suddenly felt overwhelmed with exhaustion as I compared this idea to what we'd been living through lately. Like I had been running on an empty tank and only now stopped to realize this. It had been the toughest weeks of my life. But without a doubt, they'd been the best.
Our daughter says you saved her, Edhara's father said when I didn't respond right away. She tells us there were hostile humans. You protected her from this.
I did, I nodded. I love Edhara, I hope you know that. She's part of our family, and I would die for her.
You have proven this, the alien man said, as he slowly rose from his seat.
He wandered toward the starry window and folded his arms.
We are happy to have you as our daughter's mating partner,
Edhara's mother said with a small smile.
We shall be glad to perform your joining ceremony, too.
My what? I asked. Oh, like a wedding? You want me to marry Edhara?
Will this be a problem?
The male alien looked over his shoulder with a scowl.
You wish to mate with her, and we are glad to have Earth's leader in our family. A joining ceremony will be done. solidify the joining of our races.
Well, yeah, I said with a grin. I would love to marry Adhara, but I just don't know if she wants that. We've been kind of busy lately, and there hasn't been a ton of time for that kind of talk, and—
We shall ask her,
Adhara's mother decided as she rose from her seat, and I stood up with her. Before that, I need you to know, I said hurriedly. We have a kind of unusual setup. I'm actually already married to Becca and Heiwan. And then there's Kat, who—
This is fine, Adhara's father said with a wave of his hand. You wish to join with our daughter? If you care for her along with the other females, and give them nice sperm to make offspring, then you are a worthy partner. So long as you provide her with equal amount of sperm so she make many offspring. It was a hell of a lot to take in at once. My entire body still felt like it was electric after we had stopped the fleet. And then I was about to have a new wife along with integrating aliens and humans on the same planet. Plus, more babies. Cute lilac-colored ones with generational memory. I rifled my hair in bewilderment, but my mind couldn't even keep up anymore. All I wanted was to be with my girls. We suddenly didn't have a ticking countdown hanging over our heads. And I just wanted to hold them close. I wanted to fall into bed with every damn one of them and enjoy a night with no pressure or responsibilities. And then I wanted to keep doing that for the rest of our lives.
You wish to return to the others?
Adhara's mother guessed. And I nodded as I sent her a smirk. That'd be nice, I half-chuckled. It's been a long few weeks.
You agree to our terms, the male alien asked. We share resources of your planet in exchange for our technology and help with Omati. Your males make offspring with our females.
I think that's the best option for humanity to continue, I admitted. We'll need to work out how to go about announcing the news to everyone on Earth, and how to rebuild the damage all the dinosaurs did.
This will be simple,
Adhara's mother nodded.
Now, you must tell our daughter of this ceremony.
I glanced out at the incredible blanket of stars outside the windows once more before I headed back to the bridge. As I stepped through the door, the girls continued to shriek and jump with excitement.
There's the leader of Earth!
Becca shouted like a total fangirl.
The most important man in the universe!
But what did they say?
Heiwan pressed.
Are they going to get rid of all the dinos?
All the scarily smart ones, I clarified, as the gorgeous Korean hugged my waist.
But not all of them?
Becca frowned. They say the others won't be a problem, I replied. Also, we're gonna have some new neighbors.
Huh?
Kat narrowed her eyes as Adhara's parents came back into the bridge. They headed over to the younger aliens at the front and began quickly talking in their native tongue. Yeah, so, aliens are coming to Earth, I told my girls, and it didn't even sound real in my mouth.
Seriously?
Becca gawked.
They want to come and live on the same planet as us? I expected this.
Adhara shrugged.
Like I told you before, our planet is running low on resources.
What else did you guys talk about?
Kat asked.
Since you now make all of Earth's choices.
Well, we talked about a few logistical things, but I glanced at Adhara to gauge her reaction. They actually wanted me to step up my commitment a little, and I'm happy to do it. The gorgeous alien raised an eyebrow, and Becca gasped.
Oh my God!
The blonde Brit squealed.
Does that mean what I think it does?
I couldn't stop grinning as I got down on one knee, and I took Adhara's lilac hand as I looked up at her emerald eyes. Adhara, I said, and Kat clamped a hand over her mouth. I know this probably isn't a tradition for your people, but I want you to know how much I love you. I followed you into space, and I would do it again to protect you.
Oh.
Adhara blinked several times, and she gripped my hand tightly.
You are doing the marriage asking? Like Becca and Heiwan had?
She looked adorable as her face lit up and her lilac cheeks flushed. Yes. Yes, I'm doing the marriage asking, I laughed. Adhara, will you marry me?
Yes!
The alien sang.
I will also be in the marrying. I am wife now, too.
I leapt up and pulled Edhara into my arms for a kiss, and she planted her full lips onto mine while the other girls cheered around us. My arms locked around the alien's slim waist, and her sweet tongue tangled with mine as she let out the cutest humming sound I'd ever heard.
I am so happy,
the alien gasped when I finally released her.
There will be three of us as wives.
I smirked as my girls squealed in excitement, but then I noticed Kat's expression and my heart dropped as I saw her eyes flicker to the ground. Her smile fell a bit, and she shuffled on her feet and pulled at the fabric on her pants. Edhara followed my gaze and knitted her eyebrows as she looked at the pretty soldier.
Can we talk for a moment about ceremony?
Edhara asked, and she grabbed me by the arm and practically hauled me into a corner of the bridge before I could answer. You okay? I asked, and the beautiful alien nodded.
Kat seems sad,
she whispered.
I think she also wants to be wife. We can have her in ceremony too. You mate so well with her already. She has much of your seed in her womb. Probably make you offspring soon. She should be wife with me.
You sure? I asked. I would love to marry her too, but we can have a separate ceremony if you want to.
No,
Edhara said firmly.
She is family, and Haywan and Becca had the fun together. Kat and I will be in ceremony together. Now, you must do the asking to her too, before she never smiles again.
Her desperation for Kat to be happy made me feel all gooey and loved up, and I couldn't help chuckling as I kissed Edhara's forehead. Then I slowly walked toward Kat, and the soldier had a forced soldier's expression on her face while she pretended to study the layout of the bridge. Hey, I said as I stopped beside her. I need to ask you something.
Yeah?
Kat asked. But when she turned around to face me, I was already on one knee.
Holy shit.
I cannot handle this,
Becca cried.
Oh my god! Shh!
Haywan scowled, but she grinned from ear to ear. Kat Grant, I began as the corporal turned pink. You are one badass, stubborn, gorgeous soldier. I never stop having fun when I'm with you, and I can't believe how lucky I am to have you with me. I know you aren't into sappy romance, so I'll make this quick. Will you make me the happiest guy in space and be my wife? The soldier put her hands over her mouth, and her hazel eyes sparkled with tears.
Yes,
she whispered.
Jason, a million fucking times yes.
She said yes,
Haywan cheered.
They both said yes. Of course they did,
Becca snickered.
He's the leader of Earth.
I chuckled as I got to my feet and pulled Kat close, and the soldier buried her face against my chest as she silently cried. I stroked her curly head while I tried to process how fucking cute she was when she was this overwhelmed. And when she spoke, Kat's voice was barely above a whisper.
I wasn't sure you wanted to marry me,
the soldier said. Are you kidding? I laughed and kissed her hair. A hot, strong, cool-as-hell girl with those eyes and a love for guns? Kat, I wanted to ask for ages. I just needed to be sure it was what you wanted. Kat sniffed and laughed as well. And when she looked up at me, I immediately devoured her lips. My girls whooped and cheered as I kissed the corporal until she was bright red, and her lopsided grin spread wide.
Alien wedding!
Becca said as she clapped.
I cannot wait to see what goes down at one of those. Do you think it'll be like a Buddhist one? Do we get new outfits?
Edhara was about to answer when her parents strode over, and her father placed a hand on her shoulder. Have you agreed to the ceremony? He asked.
I did,
Edhara smiled.
I am so happy to be joining Jason. Also, Kat will be in joining ceremony, too. She is also becoming wife.
Very well, the male alien shrugged. If this is your wish, we will have ceremony soon. Are there humans you wish to have here, Jason?
Like guests? I asked. We can bring people here?
Of course, Edhara's father said in a monotone. Edhara will show you how to travel. We must speak to our crew now. They have many questions for us. It is nice to join with your race. This will be good.
the older aliens headed out of the sliding doors without another word, and they hurried down the steps into the noisy room below.
"Are they okay with me being in the wedding?"
Kat asked.
"They didn't seem very enthusiastic about it."
"That is just their way,"
Edhara said.
"They are happy for you to be there also. They do not have human values about these things."
"So we can really invite people?" I asked, and the gorgeous alien nodded. There were so many people I hadn't spoken to in months, but at that moment I could only think about my parents. I had forced myself not to think too much about them during our journey, because I didn't want to picture what might have happened to them. My mom and dad were tough enough for middle-aged people, but they didn't exactly have the skills needed to fight through a dinosaur apocalypse. What if they weren't around anymore? What if I had saved the world, but wasn't in time to save them? My stomach dropped all at once, and I found myself staring at the floor in a numb state.
"Are you thinking about your folks?"
Kat asked gently. "Yeah," I croaked. "I don't even know if they'll be there. What if..." I trailed off, and Kat laced her fingers into mine.
"I don't know if mine are around either,"
she said softly.
"Why don't we let Edhara show us how to travel?"
I nodded, and Kat reached up to place a kiss on my cheek. "I'm so fucking glad I'm marrying you," I smiled. "Both of you."
"Let us go,"
Edhara said.
"I will show you the room for travel, much less complicated than how we got here."
She led us out of the bridge and down into the sea of aliens, and every single lilac face stared at us as soon as we stepped onto the staircase. Edhara's parents stood at the front of the group, and they glanced our way before they continued to speak to the crowd. I noticed the alien who had shot at me as we walked by, and she scowled intensely while Edhara led us to the next bronze staircase. Then we hurried down to the level below, and Edhara brought us over to the doors on the right side of the room. The beautiful alien waved a hand, and one of the entrances slid open so she could lead us into a small space with silver walls and something that looked like a phone booth. It had black sides, and it almost seemed like it was glowing around the edges.
"What is that?"
Haywan asked as the doors slid shut behind us.
"It is to travel,"
Edhara replied.
"You put in coordinates, and it will take you. Easy."
"Holy fuck,"
Kat blurted out.
"So it's teleportation?"
"It is travel,"
Edhara repeated with a furrowed brow.
"I do not know this word you like to use."
"Oh, this is so Doctor Who,"
the soldier said as she did a little bounce. Then the beautiful alien grabbed the handle of the black door and pulled it open to reveal a tiny dark room with a screen built into the back wall.
"You know coordinates?"
Edhara asked. "I actually do," I laughed. "I loved maps and exploring as a kid, so I've had our house memorized for years."
"You sexy dork,"
Becca giggled.
"I love you,"
Kat said with the straightest face. "I love you too," I chuckled.
"Go inside,"
the alien said with a reassuring smile.
"Press numbers into the screen, but let me change to Alakaranishian language first."
The alien spoke a command in her humming growl, and the screen suddenly flashed with numbers and the alphabet in small boxes. "Then what happens?" I asked.
"Then you will be there,"
Edhara replied simply.
"We will step in behind, and it will use the same coordinates. Then we can do the same for the other's parents."
"Have your weapon ready,"
Kat warned.
"I know you saved the world, but dinos are still there for now."
"I guess I'll see you on the other side," I said as I stepped into the booth.
"American road trip,"
Becca sang.
"See there, you sexy leader of the world."
The door closed behind me, and I stood staring at the large screen in front of me with sweaty palms. Part of me didn't want to go and find out what had happened to my parents. If I didn't go to the house, then I wouldn't have to see if it had been destroyed. And I wouldn't have to see blood smeared all over the walls, the driveway, any of it. My stomach clenched again, but I shook my head, and I knew I had to do this. If I could save the world, I could do this. The screen beeped softly as I typed in the coordinates for my parents' house, and I felt like I was 11 again all of a sudden. I'd probably dreamed of doing crazy shit like this 1,000 times as a kid. But now, I held my breath as I entered the final digit, and I tried not to think a single thought. Then I closed my eyes. There was a soft whirring sound, and suddenly,
I wasn't in the booth anymore. I opened my eyes to find myself standing on the porch of my childhood home, and I spun around to see the black booth was right behind me. "What the fuck?" I muttered. I looked back at the house, and it seemed exactly the same as I remembered it. There were no bloodstains or broken windows anywhere, and it was as if it had been frozen in time, and we weren't in a world full of bloodthirsty dinosaurs. My legs were too numb to move, but finally, I took a single step toward the door. There was a gentle creak, and a shadowy figure appeared through the gap of the opening.
"Jason?"